Let's begin. Let's begin where we left off. We were discussing. We were discussing the question of Kinyane Gzela in the context of Karen Kei Chaganav. We went through the sugya in Tumura. The two interpretations, Rashi and the Shita Bekuvetzes, in terms of the raya that Kol Ma'adam Rachmano Lo Savdi Avid Mahani, whether it's from the halach of Shinui Kona, which seems to be Rashi's view, or the halach of Kol HaGazon HaMesham HaKashas HaGzela, which is even more germane to our topic, namely the idea that the question of the value, the Yukra Mezula, is defined by the Kinyanim, and whose Rishus did the object its value increase. That's what we discussed in Tumura. And then from there we moved on to the most important Gemara, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the discussion of Rava and Rav about Kamle B'Rav Aminei. So basically the way the discussion went was that Abba Machteres is considered Kamle B'Rav Aminei. That in itself is a bit of a Chiddush, as we noted. That's Mekubal, that's everybody agrees with that. That's already explicit in the Mishnah. But it should be noted that that's not such a Dabar Pashut, because it's a Kamle B'Rav Aminei in which there may not be a Chiyuv Misa, but simply a Heter Misa. And that in itself is interesting. And then we had the question, what about the impact of that Kam Levit Rabbi Minei after the Misa threat has been neutralized, has been removed. In other words, he's no longer B'machteret, so you can't kill him anymore. And he's still holding on to the Chefetz ban. What happens in that case? And then we had the discussion between Rav and Rava. Rav said you can keep the Chefetz. And Rava said absolutely not. It's unacceptable in every way to keep the chayfetz. You have to return the chayfetz. Then Rav said, "Well, what do you mean? Don't we know that there's a chiv onsin for a gazlan in a regular case where there's no kamble b'drav aminei? Doesn't that prove that a gana for a gazlan have kinyanim?" And Rav answered, somehow trying to restrict the significance of the chiv onsin of gana for gazlan, by saying that there's a difference between mikne kana and chiyuv onsin mid dehava ashal. That's the shaka v'tarya of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So what we explained so far was that Rav, who says bidamim kaninhu, seems to have a very, very radical, or not radical, but a very extreme view of kinyane gneva u gezela. Unless we say that bidamim kaninhu is a din in kamle bidrava mine. Which I mentioned is a possibility, especially since we're dealing with an unusual Kamle B'Rav Aminei to begin with. So maybe Damim Kaninu is a function of the Kamle B'Rav Aminei creating Kinyanim, or this kind of Kamle B'Rav Aminei creating Kinyanim. Yosef Bronstein mentioned to me after the shir that he saw a scene in one of the Sfarim of the Ragachavar, that he also was very intrigued by the language of the Gemara B'Damim Kaninu, but that he wanted to link it up with the language of the Gemara in Bava Kamma that we already saw on Kuf, what is that? On Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, the Gemara talks about the impact of Shavua, right? In the case of Shavua Sapikadon. Right, so the Gemara has a language here also in the name of Amar Avuna Marav Manuli Bedach Alamar Ein Lo Chav Yadi Venishva Bo Edim Patur. So it's just very interesting that's what Rav Huna says in the name of Rav. But this is introduced by the Gemara to explain my Shvua Kona. The Gemara uses the language that this is the Gemara that we discussed on Kuf Heywood based on Kuf Avmar Aleph. Amar Avidi Barav and a Kofra Milva Kashal Eidos, Pikadon Pasal Eidos. Ilfa says Shvua Kona. So the Pashto says that the Shvua is what seals the Gzela, which is Kona. And the Gemara says, no, maybe not. Maybe that's not the Pshat. Iba is saying, my Shvua Kona, Kid Ravuna, Dam Ravuna Marav, this halacha, Manu Yadach Alom, Rein Lechabiyadi, Venishba, Chachma Oedim Pater. So sometimes, the Ragachavar says, sometimes you see that you lose the language of Kinyan in the context of, like, you know, you've discharged your obligation to him. Okay. Actually, it's interesting. In this Gemara too, the Gemara, the Rava responds and says, "Amar Rava, Mistabra Milsa de Rav," and then he goes on. So, interesting, just from a literary point of view, that the two Gemaras sound a lot alike. So, it's an interesting Ha'ara. Whether these things really are the same or not, I don't know. But it's a way, I guess, of diluting the significance of the term Kaninu. But if we don't dilute it, and it's not based on Kamle Bid Rava Mine per se, so what is it based on? So the other suggestion that we're making was, also from a literary point of view, to explain the word kaninu, is not that bidamim kaninu, in the sense that the kabbalah bidrabine seals the kinyan, but that the kinyane gneva ugezela seal the kinyan, as long as there's no chiyav hashava. And in that sense, it may really mean bidamim kaninu, because there's still a question to ask, even in the context of Rav, and that is, according to Rav, when there is v'heshav esagzela asher gazal, so it's quite possible that that interferes significantly with the kinyanim of the gazon and the ganav. And it could be that relative to the nignav and the nigzal, they really are only a secondary bailim. Rav doesn't have to disagree in a situation where there is v'heshev v'sagzela asher gazal so much. How much of an obstacle and how much interference of full kinyanim and maintenance of kinyanim of the nignav and the nigzal does v'heshev v'sagzela asher gazal accomplish? That still remains an open question. And the more you say, frankly, that the Heshiv HaSagzela interferes in a significant way with those kinyanim, the better the explanation of the words bidamim kaninu, because then it really is bidamim kaninu. It isn't just that there basically always was kinyanim genevo gazela, but there's the Heshiv HaSagzela shogazal. It's that the Heshiv HaSagzela shogazal, even according to Rab, is a significant impediment towards Kinyani Gadeva, and it's what maintains Kinyani Hanignav Hanigzal. But Bidamim Kaninu, then it's really Bidam Kaninu, meaning the fact that this Kamale Bidrabame, which wipes out the Heshav Sagzela Asher Gazal, that really is the Davrakona. Not the Kamale Bidrabame, but the reality of removing that obstacle and allowing full fledged Kinyani Gnevo Gazela as they would have been if there had been no obstacle. Okay. If that's the view of Rav, in any case, either way we can understand then why it is that it doesn't matter when the chayfetz, it doesn't matter what happens to the chayfetz. Even if the chayfetz is ben, if there's no v'heshev v'sagzela asher gazal, there are unlimited kinyane ganav v'gazal. That's basically what we're saying, and therefore you can even hold on and keep the ben. But then the question becomes, what is, so the only question remains within Rav is, and when you have a classic case when there's no kamalim rabim, there is v'heshev v'sagzela asher gazal, will you still think that there are very significant, strong kinyanim? Or how impeded, how limited are they going to be because of v'heshev v'sagzela? That still, I think, remains an open question, l'fi Rav. And that's why when people are focused very much on Rav, again, it's, by the way, our sugya is also Rav, right? Rav says, Karen, Kain, Shigona. Okay. But, as I say, we still have to ask that question. What does the Heshiv Sagzela do to limit those kinyan? Then the question more becomes that of Rava. So we pass him like Rava in Sanhedrin. And that is, when Rava says, Mistabra Milsa de Rav, you know, only when the Chavit is not Ben. What about when it is Ben? So then you have the Machlokas HaRishonim. What is the case that Rava is talking about? Is Rava talking about destroying the Ben in the context of the Machteres, a classic Kamle Midravamine, in which case we totally understand what he means, and he's totally consistent, although we still need to assess his view of Kinyane Gnevo Gazela. That is the view of the Ramban. Ramban Machamo says that Rava doesn't hold that that the Chefetz that is destroyed after the Machteres is Patamitashlumin. Not at all. Only the chayfetz that is destroyed in the machteret itself, in the full throes of kamle bidrabamine. That's the view of the Ramban. Otherwise, Ramban says, you should be applying the regular rule of tabra v'shasya, which says that if the ben is destroyed at a later point, and the value changes from the earlier to the later point, you're mechayivim according to the later period of time. Ramban says this would be classic Tabra Vishasya, the object, if he destroyed the object later on. And there should be no reason why you're Potter. Of course, the Ramban is assuming an equation between two halachos. And that's what we're going to back to when we go to Tav Rishas. First, we're going to discuss Kepel Dal Bek Shas Amad Bedin after this topic, and then we're going to go back to Tav Rishasya. But the Ramban is assuming that you can, that the question of price fluctuation of value of Shuma, whether it's one or four, is the same as is the same issue as the question of Kamle Midrabamine at point one and not at point two. Because this change in value from one to four, from four to one, is the same as the issue of Miptur L'chiyuv, Michiyuv L'Ptur, connected to Kamle Midrabamine. Okay, that's a big assumption. And undoubtedly, that's the assumption, although we have to formulate it properly, that is disputed by the other Rishonim who disagree with the Ramban. And who does disagree with the Ramban? Rashi, Tosos, the Raibid, the Rama, many Rishonim. Many Rishonim disagree with the Ramban. On the other hand, the Balamor basically agrees with the Ramban in principle, but in order to square things, dilutes the din of Rava. And that's very, very important, because basically the Balamor's argument is that Rava is only a Chumra Drabanan, but in Minat Torah, Rava agrees with Rav that once there is no Veheshev Sagzela Asher Gazal, then there's no impediment to full Kinyan Eganeva or Gazela. Which means that, you know, Rav's Halacha basically is La Halacha. We paskin like Rav, according to the Balamor. One thing is, L'maisa, we just, you know, it's a kind of a Chote Niskar kind of thing. You know, the guy stole in your basement and he's going to walk away with this chafetz and keep it? That's just unacceptable as halachic policy. But it is correct as halachic principle, if one may say it that way. That's a Balamor. The other Rishonim, unless they say it, Balamor's chiddush is a chiddush, to say that Rava only disagrees with Rav on a policy level, and that's when he says, you know, says in such strong terms, is a chiddush. Pashas, they argue, fundamentally. So then we have to figure out what is Rava really saying to Rav. So then we pointed out that there could be several things. Number one, we could have, in theory, said that it's all about, and yeah, that's what Yoni was suggesting. Yoni here?
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. That's a Kom Leibed Rava Mine issue, maybe. I mean, to what extent is the Heshev like Zeh Lashar Gazal even gone? Right? And that depends. We're going to get back to that when we get back to the Tav Rishasya point, but we'll get back to that point. Maybe we don't implement the Heshev like Zeh Lashar Gazal, but that doesn't mean that there's no chiyuv of the Heshev like Zeh Lashar Gazal. In general, in Kam Leibed Rav Mine, is it a Ptur or a Hafkaas chiyuv? That's a big issue in Kam Leibed Rav Mine. Is there a chiyuv Latzis Yidei Shemayim in Kam Leibed Rav Mine? That's how the Bali Tosfos understood the Gemara, Esnan Zona Asra Torah Filo Baalimo, that you know, that sugya, I'm not going into it right now, but we'll get to when we get to Davayin, that part of it. But if you say Kam Leibed Rav Mine is just a Ptur Tashlumin and not a Hafkah Sachiyuv, so that would be one reason to dispute Rav. So there could be an issue of Kam Leibed Rav Mine. Or in the other direction, you know, what impact Kam Leibed Rav Mine has on, in the other extreme, on Maisig Zela? Is there even a Maisig Zela? Because you assume that for Rav, there is a Maisig Zela which creates Kinyanim, and there's absolutely no Beheshav Zela Shagazal at all. But what if the Kam Leibed Rav Mine was so powerful, and the opposite of what I just said, what I just said now is maybe it was so weak that the Heshev Sagzela is still there, even though we don't implement it. And that would be a reason to disagree with Rav. But let's say you went the other way. Let's say you said, Kam Leibed Rav Mine is so powerful that we don't even view this as a Kinyan Gzela, or as a Mais Gzela. What I call the eclipsing theory of Kam Leibed Rav Mine. Right? Which is, B'mokom Chiyuv Misa, we don't even view a definition of Mechayev Shomamot. Even the Mechayev is gone. Completely. Not only the chiyuv, but the mechayev. When a person's involved in a capital crime, everything else that he does is completely eclipsed. Not just in implementation of onshim, in chiyuvim, but even in mechayevim, even in the ma'isa itself. That too might be a reason to disagree with Rav. Because then you don't have the kinyanim that you might otherwise have. Okay, so there could be Kam Leibed Rav Mine issues where we're going to get back to them. For our purposes at the moment, and the language of the Gemara certainly implies this, that the real issue is not about the kamlei d'rabba mineh part, but it's about kinyanei genevo gezeilo. And here we have the two possibilities that Rava is either rejecting Rav completely. That doesn't mean he denies any kinyanim, okay, but at least any positive kinyanim. And he doesn't just see Veheshev Sagzel as an obstacle. He may argue that even without Veheshev Sagzela, you would always have to return any chayfetz then because it's just not yours. Or at least it's more his than it is yours. Therefore, you always have to return it. It's not the chiyuv haTorah of Veheshev Sagzela. It's the reality of holding on to a be'en in which you don't have complete kinyanim that demands the chazara. So, again, if there are no kinyanim at all, and chiyuv onsin is just chiyuvim, or onshim, or at least chiyuvim, but not kinyanim, then that makes sense, and that's how we read that line of the Gemara, where the Gemara says, linyan mikna kana, you're lacking. It's only linyan chiyuv onsin. Or is Rava saying, I agree there are kinyanim, I just still think that the Nignav and the Nigzal are in a stronger position than the Gazlan. But in Achanami, vis-a-vis other people or other things, there could be Kinyanik Zela, and we've gone out of our way to try to show, based on the different Lashonis of the Gemara in different places and the issues in the Rishonim, that the question of, you know, who is in a stronger position, Ganav, Nigzal, Gazlan, Nigzal, all these issues are not so simple. They're not in one straight line. Each one has to be evaluated separately. So possibly, just one more second, that's what we were discussing. Maybe the discussion of the Ramban and the Ritva in Bav Metzia. They asked the question, why Itbar Mimela, you're Mishalim Kashas Hagzela, whereas when it comes to She'ela and Shmira, you're always Mishalim, whenever there's a Chiv Onsin, Mishas Ones. That's a question. It's a legitimate question. If both Shoel and Gazlan are Chayav Onsin, why should there be a discrepancy whether you evaluate Mishas Meshicha or Mishas Takala? That's the question. And the question itself, if you look at the language of the Ramban, is based on, the Ramban quotes the language of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. He says, after all, the Chayav Onsin of Ganef and Shoel are the same, Midah Dehaveh Shoel. And in both cases, it seems like there are no kinyanim. There are no kinyanim for a Shoel. There are no kinyanim for a Gazlan. It's only Chiyuv Onsin. It's Chiyuvim, but it's not Miknakani. That's a line plucked out of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So then the answer of the Ritva and of the Ramban. The Ritva becomes important. And in the Ritva, I think it's even clearer that the Ritva goes 180 degrees the other way. The Ritva says, no, actually, even though the Gemara equates them, Shoel has no kinyanim. Ein lo kinyan klal is the language of the Ritva. Shoel lo kanya klal, v'lo afke mershus bailim, ki abailim yichol melmachor lakdisha. The Ramban is more subtle. Shiny Shoel, to mishas mishicha v'chayev de mizonoseha, v'lo mechayev ba'onsin ad shas shvura umesa, hu bershusa demara, hi lemechira. Again, it's just very fascinating, the Lashonos here. The Ritva's language of v'lo afke mershus bailim is plucked out of the Gemara in Bava Kama too, Bava Kama and Bava Medes, where the Gemara says actually that the Gazlan is chayef for niske mamon because afke lershusay. So the Ramban is, the Ritva is saying that line doesn't apply to a Shoel, it only applies to a Gazlan. And of course the Ramban's line, Kibin the Mishas Meshicha Mechayev Ba'onseha, right? I'm said it earlier. The Mishas Meshicha Mechayev Ba'onseha, V'lo Mechayev Ba'onsin Hashash Shvuro Mesa, U'Bershusa Demari Hila Mechira, Kav Chomla Hekdesh, refers to two other Gemaras. The lines about Afke La Hekdesh is the Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan, Zelefi Shein Shalom, Zelefi Shein U'Bershusa, which we already mentioned. The other line is a reference to the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Kuf Yud Beis, and Ksuvah, Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis, where the Gemara discusses what happens if you have a shoel and he violates Shabbos. One second. Gemara has what happens in the case where Hoysa Parash Ulalo, the Tov Chabashabbos appears in both places, in Bavakama and in Ksuv Islamadalam base, Bavakama Kufid base. Hoysa Parash Ulalo, the Tov Chabashabbos. So you're a Shoel, you have a para in your domain, right? And you shechted on Shabbos, which is obviously a chi of Misa, Kam Leibed Rabba Mine. So the Gemara says, Potter. Amalei Rav Chabreid Rav Lav Ashi Rav Papa Parasa Lashminan Amalei Rav Papa Sheula Salashminan Sokatay Dechamina Hov Amar Rav Papa Mishas Mishicha Hu De Ischayev B'Mizono Seha Hachanami Mishas Sheela Ischayev B'Yon Seha Kamash Malan. And it's not so. This is the line that the Gemara, this is the line that the Ramban is referring to. So again, that one line of the Ramban, it's a few lines of the Ramban above it. Bava Metzia is invoking all sorts of Gemaras. Sanhedrin, Ksuvis, if you just know them. So what's he saying? Because the Gemara's Havamina was about Shoel, that the Chiyuv begins, the Chiyuv Onsen really begins, Mishas Mashicha, like the Chiyuv Mizonos, which would again point to Shoel being Kinyanim. But the Gemara says, if that would be true, then the Kamlei Ben Rabba Minei, right, wouldn't help you, because the chiyuv mamon would be mishas meshicha, even though the maisa tzvicha b'shabbos would be mishas takala. So there wouldn't be a coincidence between the chiyuv mamon and the chiyuv misa. The Gemara says it's wrong, not true. Even though the mizonos are mishas meshicha, the chiyuv onsen is later. So the Ramban is invoking that Gemara to tell you that, in fact, Shoel, you might have thought this, but Shoel is not midin kinyanim, it's midin chiyuvim. On the other hand, when it comes to Gazlin, zevazeh in mechalim lahakdisho, which Ramban understands to mean that the kinyanim of the Gazlin interfere with the nigzal. It's not just a lack of rishus. This lack of rishus connotes some sort of bailus for the Gazlin. And that's not true by Shomer. So in the end, according to the Ramban, basically Rava is to be understood that there are some kinyanim, and that's why the relationship to Onsim is different, even though there aren't full kinyanim. When the Gemara says Midid Hava Shoel, it means that there are no full kinyanim. It doesn't mean that the kinyanim are only on the level of Shoel. Or that Shoel is also fundamentally kinyanim, but it's a special din about the shibudim, it's a special din about the tashlume onsim that are different. And why should that be? Again, because as we discussed before, with all the parallels between Gazlan and Shoel, there's still a difference between competitive and complementary kinyanim. The Ritva, I say, goes a little further. The Ritva seems to deny Shoel having any kind of kinyanim. He doesn't even mention Mishas Mashiach, I think, for that reason, because he doesn't want to cloud the issue. The Ritva seems stronger on the issue of Shoel having no kinyanim. Not just that its kinyanim are different. I believe these are Lishitasa, I have to check it again, but there is a machlokas in the Sugyan Lamed Dalar and Beis and Ksuvis about how to understand this halacha, that Achrayas Shoel is only later, and Mashiach is earlier. The Rishonim there, the Ramban, the Rajba, the Ritva, all discuss it. They discuss the question, any issue of She'el, of Shoel's Chiv Onsin is in the category of any Odeim Praticha or any Odeim Hischayavti. Right, the Sugin in the Bava Kama, the Gemara makes that distinction, right? Sometimes it's any Odeim Praticha. I know that I owe you money, I'm not sure if I paid you. Cheskos Chiv is that you owe the fellow until you can prove that you didn't, that you don't. As opposed to any day mischayavti, I'm not sure I ever owed you money. Or the cheskas, it's a cheskas p'tur, essentially. Okay. So the Rishonim discuss, in the case of she'ela, in a shoel, onsim, if you have some suffix, the guy says, any odeya, is it any odeya mischayavti or any odeya impraticha? It's So in that context, the Ramban and Rajba, and Rajba and Ritva discuss it in Ksuvas Lamedaleph Beis, and a little bit in Bava Kamma as well, Kufyud Beis. Find that discussion a little bit in the Shinu Kuvet Zes. And again, it depends on this question. If the Chi of Onsin, if the Chi of Mezonos are Mishas Mashicha, but the Chi of Onsin are determined by Shas Takala, and that's true for Kamli Bid Rava Mine, and that's true for Itbar Mimela. Right? So the question is, are we really saying then that, you know, all it is Chiyuvim? In which case, if you have some suffix, it's Eini Odea Im Hischayavti, and you should be Potter. Or no, the fact that this Chiyuv Mizonos to begin with is the rule, the delayed Shibudim, and therefore Pirut Tashlumin on the Achrayas, that's an exception. That's kind of like Exeris HaKasuv. But that's, you know, is it the Mizonos Lamafreya, or is it the Achrayas delayed, in a way? So that's part of the discussion of the Rishonim about Shoel in that Suga Kufi Beis and Bava Kamma and Ksuva Staf Lamedal. And I think it has a lot to do with these different formulations. I'm not sure if they're totally consistent or not. I have to check again. But and of course, with what we discussed last year, those who were here, namely in Kedushin Daf Memches, that famous Ritva there and in Bamitzia, about those Shoel Kardom, all those other issues as well. So there are at stake several big issues here about the nature of Sheila and the nature of Gneva Gezela. Certainly, the Ramban and Ritva both seem to be concluding that even Rava believes that there are Kinyanim, but one could have said that Rava really rejects it completely, or that it has to do with, as I say, Kamblei B'Rava Mine issues, etc. Yeah.
Back to what Rabbi said about, if you say that Kamblei B'Rava Mine is it's Mafkia the Machayev, so then you could argue with Rav that way?
Right.
Is that because only in the context of Kelev D'Rav Mineh, so the Pater can exist, but once you've left the Machteres, so there, then it can no longer be?
Well, if that, what I'm saying, what I meant by that was that if at the moment of the, in other words, Rav assumes that there are Kinyane Gezela, and they're not countered by the Chiyuv of the Heshev HaSagzela Shagazah. So either if we say that the Heshev HaSagzel HaShur Gazal is still alive and well, or if we say the Kimlei B'Drabme is so powerful that not only does it not generate the Chiyuv HaShava, it also eliminates the Ma'is HaGzela. If there's no Ma'is HaGzela, maybe there are no Kinyanim. So then you'll be left with a situation where you're holding on to a Chafetz which isn't yours because you didn't do a Ma'is HaGzela. I'll just give you something to look at, but we'll get back to it when we get to these topics. Another topic, the Rabbi Kiveger I saw in the right in the beginning of the Perek, I think it's from Tshuva maybe, but it's also in Drush V'Chidush, I think it's here, has a suffix about Vagunav Mibesa Ish Velo Mibesa Ganav. It says, what if the first Vagunav was in the context of Kamlei B'Drava Mine? Interesting. Will you still say Vagunav Mibesa Ish Velo Mibesa Ganav? Or only when there's a chiyuv. So that could be a dual question. Right? The question could be a begunav mesa yishon besa ganav question. But when do we say ganav achar ganav? Does it mean there's no second chiyuv, but if there's no first chiyuv, then there's a second chiyuv? That's the issue? Or the issue is, when you have kamlei midrava mine, how much does it wipe out of the first ganeva? One second. Yeah, here it is. Ubedin gonev minaganav. Sharishon ganav b'Shabbos. Kosher v'ena b'tshuva. It is b'tshuva. Okay. V'zel l'shonu de'yishom akivin shaganeva haya b'Shabbos. Taidei kamli b'rava minei lo nasa ganav l'shum inyan ischaivos. Einu b'chalal ganav. V'lo mikri achakach gonev min aganav. V'kmo ganav aidei m'shicha b'rshus habaylim. Is that really true? That kamli b'rava minei is the equivalent of ganav Birshus Abaylim, Meshicha Birshus Abaylim, O Birshus Arabim Andomer Lava Meshicha, Nisham the Mikra Adayin Beis Baylim, Sheicholim Nagdisho. Is that also true? The Ba'achar Veganav Shama, Nisham the Chayev. Is it really true that when we say Kamalei Midrava Minei that the din of Rabbi Yochanan doesn't apply, and by extension that the din of Agudah Mibeis Aish doesn't apply? Ba'adayin Pradzet Sarach Le'iyun Ladina. And interestingly, he says, "Va'ayin od b'chidushim k'suvas lamedalet." I don't know if it's. Yeah. Oh, that's the that same sugi lamedalet on base where the Gemara applies kam lebidrabaminei to cases of geneva. But he's basically being mistapek whether the kam lebidrabaminei wipes out the kinyanim, whether you compare kam lebidrabaminei to a lack of kinyan itself. So I think that's going to be a fruitful issue going forward. Again, it could be a pure kam lebidrabaminei question. No, there's no mechayev, like we said. It could also be a Gnevo Gazela, Kinyan Gnevo Gazela question too. Namely, if you do a Maisa Kinyan Gnevo Gazela without any of the, Chiyuv, to what extent does the Chiyuv contribute to the Kinyan? Also might be an issue. Okay. Anyways, there's a lot to talk about in these questions. And when we finish Tavra Vashasya, we'll at least finish this part of it as well. Okay, so the Rishonim, I think there's a difference between the Ramban and the Ritva, maybe connected, and so on. One thing that emerges also from this whole analysis is to then investigate every case where there's no Chiyuv Hashava. Because especially if you hold like Rav, right, every case where there's no Chiyuv Hashava is now fair game to being Kinyanim Gemurim. If it isn't Kaninu B'damim based on Kamlei B'Rabamine particularly, but the significance of Kamlei B'Rabamine is that there's no impediment of the Heshiv, and therefore there's full Kinyanim, if that's really what Rav is saying, so what about other cases where there's no Heshiv as Sagzei L'Ashagatha? Right, that would be a legitimate issue to look at. Except that here, there might be one other qualification. Yeah?
Even if there's no Heshiv, you also have to be no Heshiv.
Say it again?
Is there really referring to cases where Kinyan Shava and Kinyan Rabbinay, so we take it to get our Suman?
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's say there is. Let's assume they go together. Well, that would be the same cases. Otherwise, it might be a little more complicated. But let's assume that not only is there no Chiyuv Tashlumin, but there's no Chiyuv Hashava either. But there's one other complicating factor, and that is essentially what we just said, but in different variations, which is the reason why there's no Hashava. May sometimes be part of the topic, part of the issue. If the reason that there's no hashava is because it's not the kind of a gzela or gneva which generates a hashava, and that compromises the mechayev and the kinyan as well, then you're not going to get the result of Rav. The thing about Rav is, and that's why we said he's vulnerable to attack on either side. Either Kamlei B'Rabamine might be too weak, right, or Kam Lebid Rav might be too strong. Rav has to have it just exactly calibrated. You know what I mean? And the same is true, right. He also has to assume there's not a continuing Chiyu, right, if it starts off from Kam Lebid Rav. Fine. But let's say there are other reasons why there's no Chiyu Vashava. We always have to ask whether those other reasons aren't either too strong or too weak. If they're technicalities, Bezen's not going to bother under these circumstances to execute the hashava, right? It's not a davar shiyotze b'dayanim. So then it's going to be too weak, because it really is still a chiyuv hashava on some level. By the same token, if it's too strong, the reason there's no hashava is because this gneva or gzela in question is flawed, and it's not a full-fledged gneva or gzela for some other reason, then it's going to be too strong, and you're not going to have the hechatimtz either. So just, these are cases that we've already encountered, and this is a point that we've already made. Right? We had a Pachas Mishav Pruta for the Yad Raman Sanhedrin. Right? Where Machlokas Arishonim, and we had Ephraim had a Meiri, right? In general, whether or not Pachas Mipruta has Chiyuv Hashava or not. The Noach, right? Depending on the different views of the Rishonim, what does it mean, Lonitan Lihishavon, or in a Betoras Hishavon, Rashi Neirvin, some of the other examples of it. In Gezel Akum, stealing from an Akum, in other words, that's the Mesibos. Kamlei B'Rabamine we now have now, Rav and Rav, and Rabbi Kivager for good measure. The discussion of the Yireim, right, if Gezel Akum is Mutter, is it Lachem or not? L'inyan Esrog and other things. The Nesivas. says something similar about Yush Bavadim, which we'll get to, but the Nesiva has an argument that Yush, if there is Yush Bavadim, then actually Yush Bavadim is stronger than Yush in Betalatol. It's Machlokas and Gemara, whether Yush Kadi Kani or Lo Kani. By Betalatol. So the Nesiva argues, and we'll see that when we get to it, but I'm just telling you now because it's an important case for this. If you have Yush Kadi, and you hold that Yesh Yush Bavadim, even those who say normally Yush Kadi Lo Kani will agree. Why? Because maybe there's no Hashava for Avadim. If there's no Heshiv, it's like Zela Shagazal, but there is Yush, so then there's no impediment whatsoever. But in all these cases, you have to figure out whether or not the reason there's no Hashava isn't either, as I say, too weak to make a difference, or too strong, and therefore you just won't have the Kinyanim either. The Kinyanim will be affected also, and you just won't have the second dips. So these are about five or six cases of it to look at, but Kol Echad Bifnei Atzmo has to be looked at. The Ksos about Amanas Lameikah in light of this as well. Again, if the Ksos's point is, you know, that you can have an almanas lameikat, an iser, b'li chiyuv hashava, or is it just, you know, chiyuvim, kinyanim? These would be some of the cases to look at to test whether this echo of Rav comes back to us or not. Yeah.
And if you do understand this Rava, like Rashi tells us perhaps that they don't agree with Bamor that is Kumar, but not that they,
right,
that they disagree with your Bam, that he's Padler,
right,
that he's Chayav, Shiva Lachakrim. So then you would understand that there's a Mitzvah Shava and a Chayav Shava, a parallel Chayav, that you become Chayav Shava, and you have to do the Mitzvah Shava. Mitzvah Shava is a sort of an ongoing Chayav, which doesn't get canceled out. So you end up having that Kolod, the Inni still exists, the Chayav Mitzvah Shava,
could be.
When it doesn't exist anymore, then you have, then you,
right,
you go back.
Well, like, when it talks about Tavra Shasya, so I'll sum that up, but maybe that could be. So again, it's in between the two. In that way, it's in between the total. Rav is right, Le'inyan, that aspect,
right,
of it, one dimension. Could be. That's likely. Or maybe there's some other chat which we'll get to. Yeah.
Let me say that, you know, you might not be able to compare with other cases because of being strong.
Yeah.
But with the case of the Nesivos, the Rav, and the Shah, so can we say a couple former? Meaning, we don't have a hobby of that. That, you know, the Goy's property is so strongly held, we won't be able to, affect any...
There, it just happens to... No, the only question there I think you'd ask is there a tour, or there's just no chiyuv, or there's no implementation? The only... I don't think it could be too strong there. In other words, there should be no reason,
right,
why there wouldn't be kinyanim.
So
the only question is, would it be too weak?
Right. So then we should say kal v'chomer, no? Meaning there, if it's too weak, and nonetheless, you...
But it's Bezin's not going to go and take it away from them. That doesn't mean you don't have some obligation to them, in a way. On some level.
Right.
But you're right. I think you're likely correct. Which is why when we learned the Nesivos at the time, I think I made this point, that I think, you know, one could argue in that case that there would be, there's also a reason why there's more kinyanim, and you would go so far to say that it's lochem. Right. I agree. I mostly agree. I'm just pointing out that's a structural issue that you have to deal with. Okay. Two other issues, or three, just very quickly before we move to the Tosfos Rid, and one of course is the question of Shevach. Let's say you have an improvement in the value of the object, but not quite yet Shinui Kona from the time of Karen Kane Shaganav, of the act of Maisig Zela and Kinyan, until the point of Shinui Kona. What happens then? I'm not talking about just Yukur Vizula. I'm talking about a physical improvement also. The animal grows, but doesn't grow to the point where it's a shinui. Okay. How do you collect on that? Do you say Karen Kane Shaganav or not? So that seems to be a discussion. Shlomo? Back there? Shlomo? Who discusses that question? Well, if there's an improvement in the animal's value between Shinikona and Enigineva, or the Gazela. Familiar with any such discussion or not? Noam? Yeah, the Rosh where? No, that's the mainly the Rosh, and we'll get to that also, but okay. But the main discussion is in the Rosh in the ninth parak. And in Tosis also in the ninth parak. Right, you saw Yeshua?
Yeah. There's a in the Rosh and ask them off. Right, it's wrong as they're Tosis.
Yeah, what first let's Tosis says on Tzadi Hei. You can read that very quickly for us.
It says
yeah, what does that mean? Mishalim Dmei Paro.
That's a quote from Yimara that says that if a person were to steal something, and then the case is either Rafa the Yazda or Paro the Yalda,
right.
And the Leda happened after the Gazel, so you steal the pregnant and then it gives birth. So you pay the value of a Paro who is pregnant, who is,
right.
You know, waiting to give birth.
Excellent.
He switches it and says not the Gazlan, rather the Liza.
Pretty big difference, right?
Right, obviously. So, sorry.
No. I'm glad you pointed it out. I was kind of understating it a little, so I appreciate it.
Right, so. That's discussion then that the Rosh gets into something.
Yeah, correct. And Heretes, Simon Gibbon. So the question there, without going into details, and we'll leave them most of part of the discussion for Tavra Vashasya, because that's part of the issue, whether or not we consider Shinui Konev to be the equivalent of Tavra Vashasya or not. Right? Especially since he doesn't necessarily do a Biadayim. So is that Tavra V'Shasya? Is Shinui Koned Tavra V'Shasya or is it Itbar Mimela? You have the Rosh in front of you? Just to read a couple of lines quickly. That's part of the discussion. It depends on that issue, in part. The relevant part, yeah.
And you keep the Nigzal cannot say to the Gazan, give me back the Parla and the Dmei Shvach. The thing called Mokom She Puskar
Kniyas Shinoi.
Kniyas Shinoi, the Indian Gazan, hang the Indian Zeshi, Shalim, Domin, the Hagzela, Tiashalo. So he says that anytime you have this type of Shinoi, you say that the Gazlan has to pay the value of what was stolen, but the actual Gazela, it belongs to him, which is like Tosos himself and not the group. The Yosem is that, I mean, on the safe, like, Gazal Parav is Abra Etzlo, the Yalda, Rachel is the Nitana Etzlo, the Gazla, Misham Kishas Hagzela. I mean, in the Gemara, I'll leave the Rev Papa, laughed after Yalda the Gazla. Right? So he says that there's no difference whether or not it gave birth or not. You have to give what you stole.
Right. Okay, you can skip a little bit. Just I want to get to the Tavra V'Shasya part. It's very good though so far. The Gan Nira. three lines down from the top. I mean, that's a column. Which means
so that even though it's it would seem that you should that it's saying that you have to pay not kishas exil but rather the until the point that the
second before the shiur,
right? So therefore, it seems to me that there's no shinui kona until the actual shinui happened.
So now already he's making it clear that the issue is
that the whether since the kinyan doesn't happen until the actual shinui itself, therefore until such time it remains in the rishos hanigzal.
Oh, meaning in the competition between gazal and nigzal. And the question of in whose rishus is the animal advancing, the nigzal wins out.
Right. Okay.
The dummy?
The dummy will have the Omer Rado, El Sam Tamarav, Hanan Yogo Havisa, the Hanra, Nitabre, Meikar Shavya Zuzo, the So Shavya Arba, Tavro Shasim Shan, the Ad Mishum Dershus Hanigzal. Right? So since it went up in value when it was still in the rishus of the nigzal, because again this shinui occurs after it gets it appreciates.
So Tavru Rishasi again proves the nigzal.
Right.
Miu.
Miu. So he says, however, he really only pays Gishas Akzela because since he was kona the group of the actual act of Bishinui, so we're only Machayev him to pay the value of the Shas Akzela because once he's kona it, the evaluation goes back to the Shas Akzela.
Oh, yeah, a little more. Oh, the Kaya, the Sefer Zeh, Klal Kol HaGazon Misham HaGishal Sech Zeh,
the Kaya, the Kaya,
Ovid HaMasis.
The Kaya, 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 the
Kaya, the Kaya, the Kaya, the Kaya, the Kaya, the Kaya, the Kaya, the
Kaya, the Kaya, the Kaya, the Kaya, the Kaya, the Nigzal would have come and taken it back in the meantime, but before this shinui occurred.
He would have gotten it.
And he would have gotten it, and the shelach would have occurred
Hi, what about Tavro Rishasa, which he asked about earlier? Below Dami le Tavro
Rishasa. The Hassam, Ivdom in Ha'olam, the Osa Shah, Nasa Gazlan. Over there, when we say Tavro Rishasa, it's completely out, destroyed or lost from existence, and therefore that is the specific time where the Gazlan becomes the Gazlan.
Right.
But when the Exela still exists, so if it just changes but it still exists, so and I guess I mean the end there, then we do this idea of the shuma chazra the shas exila.
Okay, good. So basically, what we've seen basically is this is a discussion in 2 days in the Rosh, the Machlokas. It's quoted in the Rosh. The Gra's changing of the Gra's change in the girsa of Tosas. This is a basic Machlokas or Rishonim. What happens after the stealing of the Be'en, before the Kinyan on the Be'en? In that limbo period, who is more in control? Who's the recipient of the higher value of the object? Is it the Nigzal or is it the Gazlan? Is it Brishus HaNigzal or is it Brishus HaGazlan? So it's quite possible that this whole issue revolves around how you understand Tavro Rishasya. Does Tavro Rishasya have in common with Shinui, or is it a totally different kind of case, etc.? It may have a lot to do with the nature of Shinui Kona, whether it's a new kind of a Kinyan you know, Panim Chadash is Bo'olakan kind of a thing, or whether it's working off the original Kinyanic Zalem. We'll sum that all up when we get to them. But unquestionably, in its own right, this Machlokas, again, tests to what extent at the moment of the Maisig Zela, the Arkinyanim, when there's a competition between the Nigzal and the Gazlan, who really is in control. Okay, so that's a very important issue. Another issue which is very important, in which there is no dispute, but the only dispute how to interpret the conclusion, is the issue of Ein Shamin. Yeah, sorry.
In the earlier case, if there is no Shinoi, right, wouldn't everybody agree that any Shevach would go back to the Nigzal?
Yes, and if there's a ban, you mean?
Yeah.
Because that's based on Veheshev Esagzei Lasher Gazal. So the question is, how artificial is Veheshev Esagzei Lasher Gazal? Is Veheshev Esagzei Lasher Gazal a halacha that defies what's really happening? What's really happening is that the Ganif and the Gazlan have strong Kinyanim and the Chayfets. The only thing is, Veheshev Esagzei Lasher Gazal, it impedes that to some extent, it defies that to some extent. It says as long as there's a ban, even though the Chayfets is growing for the Gazlan, it doesn't matter. It's part of the Heshev, it's still part of the Heftza. It's the Heshev HaKsegel HaShar Gaza. Right. In which case, once the Be'en is no longer a factor, then you go to the Mils of the Mafreya, that these all were for the Nigza. All for the Gazlan, rather, not for the Nigza. Again, there are Chidushim in all these things, because even if you say, you might say, listen, the Heshev HaKsegel HaShar Gaza, as long as it's a Be'en, everybody agrees that that's the Nigza. Right. That's why I said, even in Rav, the question is, how much of an artificial impediment is it? Or maybe, you know, if there really is Veheshev Esagzela, it really means that the Nigzal really is in the natural driver's seat, not just artificially. It's hard to know. There are some subtle questions here. So your point is well taken, but that's exactly what's going on here. The Rishonim here are saying, as long as it's a Be'en and it's attached to the Be'en, there's no question that it returns. But we can look at that in two ways. We can look at it as being an indication that as long as there is a Be'en, the Chayfetz is firmly ensconced, Bershus HaNigzal, and the Gazlan's rights are very limited. In which case, if you look at it, to formulate it that way, so let's say now the Be'en is gone. But the Be'en is only gone now. But a second before the Be'en was gone, it was firmly ensconced in the Bershus HaNigzal. So of course he should get, you know, the value till that point. That doesn't change. Or no. The Heshev is like Zeila Asher Gazal, which is an artificial impediment, and which says that the Be'en, and therefore anything that is Al-Pidin, part of the Be'en, returns to the owner. That's always artificial. The second that we can neutralize that, because the Be'en no longer goes back, then Igloi Milsulim Afreya, it always was growing in the Rishus of the Gazlan more than the Nigzal, just that since it was part of the Chefts of Be'en, so just part of the Heshev is like Zeila Asher Gazal. Once it's not a factor, then even Lamafreya, it's not a factor. That's essentially part of the argument that's going on between these 2 days in Bali Tosis. Very important. So Ein Shamin Vegana for the Gazlan. Also, again, it depends a little bit on how you understand the sugya. Not so much, probably. Again, we discussed it already. The sugya Daf Yud Aleph, Omer Aleph. When it comes to Nezek, Pachas Nevela is Lenizak. When it comes to Gana for Gazlan, we say that Ein Shamin Vegana for the Gazlan. So Rashi interprets there in terms of Pachas Nevela, in terms of paying back with the Nevela. Tosis understood it that way, certainly. Tosis there says, well, what about the fact that you can use Shava Kesef, Larabos Subin, you can always pay back in Shava Kesef. So take the Nevela, put it on his doorstep. Don't put it on his bed, but put it on his doorstep. So the Tosis says, no. The Gzeres HaKasuv of Ein Shamin, the God of the Gazlan, says that in this case you can't even pay back Shava Kesef. One could have said that all Rashi really had in mind was that if you want to pay him B'torah Shava Kesef, you could do that. But if you want to claim that you're not paying him B'torah Shava Kesef, but all you owe him is the discrepancy between the Be'en and Be'en as it used to be, that's where you have a difference between Nezek and God of a Gazlan. Is that clear? Everybody understood that? Okay. So, in other words, that there are two different points here. One is whether you can use the Nevela for Tashlumin. The other is whether or not you owe Tashlumin Keneged the Nevela. Yeah?
That's not a practical difference.
Maybe there's not. I mean, there might be some differences, but maybe even if there was no practical, conceptually, those are two different ideas, two different issues. One is a question: Is there tashlumin of any shava kesef in the context of a particular kind of chiyuv? Let's say in this case, ganeva or gazela, right? Or do you have to pay either money or a proper ban, but you can't pay subin? Right? That's a question in kiyum tashlumin, essentially. Whereas the other question is in the mechayev itself: what do I owe you? The point is, I don't know you this.
It just sounds like in shava is like what you're allowed.
Not necessarily. I wouldn't have thought so. I would have thought that Ein Shaman really means, you know, what are you mechuyev to begin with? Not what you're obligated to pay. How do you pay? But, you know, what do you pay? For sure, Ein Shaman means, you know, how you pay. The question is how you pay just a local, narrow question. What is the method of payment? You can go Visa, you can go MasterCard, you can go gold bullion. Right, you can go, you know, cash, or you can do subin. What are the rules in this case? Which Yashiv L'Rabba Shavah Kesef K'Kesef. That's sugya's about. And what about kiddushin? And what about nezek? And what about bechor? Pigeon bechor? In general, those are questions of kiyum tashlumin. Okay, but in this gemara, some or in other cases as well, sometimes how you pay is a measure of why you're paying and what you're paying. And in this case, it could be. The nevela is part of the payment, or the nevela is excluded from the chiyuv to begin with. In the Gemara, I think it's fine to say that. In any case, that's one issue. Either way, the way Tosus transitions to it, as he ends up linking it up with the question of kinyanim. A question of kinyanim could affect both of these issues. That's also possible. But again, I don't want to get too much into yud aleph omid aleph. I'm just making that ha'ara. Who has it? Do you have it, Jakey, in front of you? The Tosfos, sorry. We've seen it before, but I want to see it now for this point. Quickly.
In Shaman, Lodadah, here's the figures. In Shaman, Lodadah, and Ashkar, Lodadah, the Absar, Gana, and Patatas, are Shaman, Behemoth, Shalimba, Ilu, Lodadah, and Ashkar, and Lodadah. That got the title on Yashiv, the Rabba, Shana, Kesef, and Kesef. Now, the goddess of Shani, you can see that your God will get you,
and it could be that what, even if you say that's Xeris HaKosov and it limits the Shava Kesef here, the question is, it limits all tarnished or diminished Shava Kesefs, or just limits particularly this Chayfetz? Okay, according to what I'm saying, you know, even if you want to say it's a Shava Kesef issue, maybe it's Dafka this Chayfetz, because it clouds the issue, at least, whether this is Tashlumin or it's, you know, just the, you know, the a reassessment of what you really owe. I think that could be the issue as well. But okay. Beyond that, I don't want to talk about Shavu Kesef in a moment. Okay, V'chei Ma'ashma V'Yushalmi. V'chei Ma'ashma V'Yushalmi.
V'chei Ma'ashma V'Yushalmi. V'chei Ma'ashma V'Yushalmi. Amar Rav V'Farmamo Shaim Shnaim Shalim Lo Mason. Adido
in Gneva.
Gneva. Amar Rav V'Farmamo
So this is the ha'ara that we made earlier in the year, which is, and it seems like the Gemara would have, that the Yerushalmi would have considered that ain shaman leganav, but shaman legazlan, and surely that's significant and important as well, putting gzela more in the camp of nezek, and gneva outside of that camp. Also in terms of kinyanim, as we'll now see. Go ahead. Beishav gzela shagazal, kasher gazal.
Okay, well, how does time the gan legazlan? Gan is a ton of the yag, so it's 2.65.
Oh. So this is the explanation of Tosis. Again, the question is, you know, is that relevant to Yashu the Rabba Shava Kesef K'Kesef? Or maybe in my way, if you want to limit it my way, or is this like a different point, which is not how you pay, but how much you're initially obligated to pay. But either way, Tosis is explaining in terms of Kinyanim Gzela here, that Mazik, there's no Kinyanim, and Gzela, there is Kinyan, but language is important. Kanu Miyad Kishot Siyom Rishus Abaylin. Even though one could have said that this is really about something else, namely, Jakey? Just not kana miyad brega showed tzim b'shus abaylin per se. Well, not onus, but what halacha, which Tosas actually does say in Bamitzia. What? Shinui Kona. Right. One could have said this is a din of Shinui Kona. It's just interesting that Tosas doesn't formulate this as Shinui Kona,
add itself to the list of whether your opponent begin with or not.
What's that?
Add itself to the list of whether your opponent begin with or not.
Shina Kona, exactly. That seems what it tells us. Because we are talking about Shina Kona, really. In the end of the day, we're talking about Shina Kona. Otherwise, you would say, Harei Shechala Fanecha. And then that certainly would be true. No one would deny that if there's no Shina Kona, you could say Harei Shechala Fanecha. So we're talking about the kind of Gezela where there's almost an immediate Shina Kona. And yet, it's interesting that Tosas formulates it. So Tosas Bamitzia says Shina Kona. Tosas here doesn't say that. He says, Bishas Gneva, there's a Kenyan. Right? Even though, which means that he's basically saying kind of what Rashi says in Tmura, I think if you put them together, which is that Shinikona is based on the original Kinyane Gzeiv. In this case, it might be immediate. In other cases, it's not. But either way, Shinikona is itself founded on the original Kinyane Gzeiv. Where? In Tmura? Well, in Tmura, there's a delay, there's a lag. Rashi's saying, and again,
Rashi means that the proof that it's Mahani is the fact that the Shiloh, which is a Mahani.
I mean, at its time, is its own Gzela.
Yeah.
And if it happens to be Mela?
Right.
It's a little hard to say that, but maybe. Okay. Behind the Taima, go ahead.
Behind the Taima, the Madam Rav, the Shiloh, came the Taima Onsu, Limsa Shikna'o, Mishah Shahotzi Yahabailim.
So of course, this is exactly perfect in the Gemara, because that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara has two deos, what about Shoel? So everybody links up this Gemara about Shoel and God of the Gazel with the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the discussion of Rav and Rav. It's a natural. If you look on Yod Aleph on the back here, and the people in the back here, one of the people in the back, which one was it? I don't remember. Or I got it in the Yalkut, now they have these, they put them all together, says whether or not Shaman Lashoel or not, he says, should depend, if I see it, I'll know it if I see it. Not one of the people that I usually am familiar with, but one of the people in the back here says that whether or not Shaman Laganov Lagazlan depends on the two deas in the Gemara in Ksuvas and in Bava Kama, whether or not the Chi of Onsin is Mishas Meshicha or Mishas Ones. Or maybe it's not in these people, maybe it's only in the newfangled Gemaras. Everybody have the new one? The red one? You have the red one there? Open this one quickly. It has Likute, whatever, in the back. So I was just looking around for somebody to make some comment on this, because it's Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, yeah, and this tells us. Tell me the name, I'll tell you if it's the one. Doesn't sound right. But that I don't remember. What else? There's nothing else in Yud Aleph Amud Aleph? Maybe it is. What does he say? Oh, yeah, not on the Rif, on the Gemara. And the Tosas, but he has a comment on this Tosas. He just says, well, this should depend whether or not the Chiyuv. You have it? Oh, go ahead. Paras Yosei. Exactly. How can I forget? Yeah, go ahead. Right. Oh, okay. So I think that's just very good. Full circle. That's essentially what the Ramban was worried about. Right? And that's the discussion, and even the halacha, even though we pass in a certain way, as I pointed out, whether that's an anomaly or that's the rule, that's the discussion of the Rishonim in Ksuvas Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. So this is all part of that discussion of She'ela as well. In any case, Tosas here says the whole thing depends on Shinui, even though he may be referring to Shinui Kona, but he makes it linked to Maisa Gzela Mishas, the Kinyan Gzela Mishas Maisa. Tosas Bav Metzia, which is a parallel Tosas to this, makes it much more dependent upon Shinui Kona and maybe Shinui Kona alone, not the working off the original Kinyana. Okay. So that's important as well. And then finally, just to look back at, in light of this again, the language of Tosfos Bava Kamma and Vav Mabes, right? Which again, on the Niske Mamon issue, I think two things were interesting about it. Number one, the first day in Tosfos, Tosfos said how, again, Tosfos' problem was the Gemara used the language, Pshita Kivida Afke Kaima Birshusei L'chol Mili, referring to the Ganav and the Gazlan. That's Birshusei L'chol Mili. I already pointed out, fine, here it's not competition with the Nignav and the Nigzal, it's just him versus, you know, everybody else in the world. Okay, but either way, it's a strong language, and I think we just pointed out before that the Ramban makes reference to this language as well in Bav Metzia, Mem Gimel. But the first day of the Tosfos says, well, how do you know that it's so? Right? Bim Tomer, Minale, Dekai Mebrishisayu, Afil Yizchai Vamashi Mazekes. So he said, Tosfos, this, looking back at the Shaka Vatari again, Tosfos says, the Lake of the Member, the Chihecha, the Masru, the Shomer, Shomachinam, the Hashoel, Nichnes, the Tachas, Abaylim, who are Din Gazlan, the Vilma Shomer, who the Mechayev, of a Gazlan, lo, the Matsino Dvarim, Shomachayev, a Gazlan Potter, the Kachasha Behema Hakasha Dehadra, who perish your Kivu Mikzas. Fascinating. Tos says, why don't you just say, well, if Shomer, then Kalvachomer, Ganav and Gazlan. Tos says, it's not such a Kalvachomer, because the relationship between Shomer, even Shoel, and Ganav and Gazlan is a little more complicated than you would think. For example, you don't need Shinui Kona. This is not what Tos says explicitly, but this is what he's saying. You don't need Shinui Kona for Shoel. Right, or Shomer Chinam B'Pshia to be Chayev. In that sense, we see that occasionally a Shomer is more of a Bailim, has more of a Chrayas than a Ganav. So that's very fascinating, in light of what we've discussed, which is, you know, these Gemaras are discussing exactly that issue, and it's a little more complicated than we might think. Understandably, because here it's about, again, a consensual relationship, a complementary relationship. The question is, are you doing your job for him? And therefore you're a chayiv to make sure on a pshia level for Shomer Chinam or on a shoel level on an onsim level for a shoel, right? You don't need Shinui Kona for you to be responsible. Okay. Again, is that chiyuvim or even kinyanim? Maybe it's all chiyuvim. Maybe it's all chiyuvim. But Kal v'chomer, Ganav Gazan always has more kinyanim. Or maybe even on the kinyanim level. It's very complicated. Again, here the issue is his responsibility to him and what that triggers in terms of kinyanim. Not the competition with him. But that's the first day in Tosfos. But then the second day of Tosfos says, no, v'od, kivin the Gazan, kamale b'rshusei gamlin, and onsin, Yesh l'chashev b'aylim yosem yishutav. V'hachemash malishin d'koma b'rishusay l'kol mili. So that's the second day, meaning more than Shomer in Kinyanim, maybe the Shomer is only din of chiyuvim. But either way, again, the comparison to Shutav is fascinating. Okay. The final approach in this Gemara is the Tosfos Rid. In this sugya, it's Tosfos Rid. Yeah, do you have a question?
Yeah, according to Tosfos, not in Bavim Tzitzan Yivav.
Yeah.
So the seven of Shalom and Shalom and Shalom are whether he's Kona Shia or not Shalom?
Seems so, yeah. And that's, again, a whole different, you know, issue. Karen Kane Shagana. Kefal Dal Vekashasa Madabedin. So till now, we've assumed, according to everybody, that Karen Kane Shaganav is the equivalent of Kala Gazlan and Mishalom and Kashasa. And that as long as the Be'en exists, you can always say a racial kolofanecha, bein b'gneva, bein b'gzela. That's the standard assumption. That's explicit in that Tosfos in Bav Metzia, by the way, in Tzadivad, says that explicitly. It's implicit in our Tosfos here in Bava Kamma, Samechei, Amud Aleph. Our Tosfos asks the question, why do you need Rav? Why not just say kol hagazlan b'sham k'shasa gzela? Right? Tosfos' answer is, but in Achanami, Karen is the same halacha. So there's no difference between Ganav and Gazlan in the Sugya, and Kala Gazlan and Mishalom and Kashasa Gzela is what Karen Kain Shagunav means. That's what Tosis assumes in Bam Metzia, Mem Gimel, and Bava Kama, Samachay, right? Bam Metzia, Tzadi Vav, all over the place. And that's what almost all the mainstream Rishonim assume. Okay. The one exception is the Tosis read. Okay. What does the Tosis read hold? Aaron?
I didn't see it, but I
didn't get to see it? If you didn't see it, how do you know?
Mentioned it.
Oh, we mentioned it. Okay. But anybody who saw it inside? Still not? Michael?
So he has, before the Yidam, he has this radical shot that, and if you, that for Karen, that no matter what, whether Karen is behind or not behind, you're going to be paying. Shas Gneva. Right. But for the Kefil, if it is the aim, then you're going to be calculating the Shas Amad Bidin. If it's not the aim, then you go back to the time of Shas Gneva.
Okay, let's leave the Kefil part out for the moment because we're going to get to that in Kefil that will make Shas Amad Bidin. But let's just concentrate for the moment on the Ganef and the Gazel. So what L'may Nafkim, so just more concretely. So what's the difference between Gneva and Gazela? What case? Steal a Chefes.
The case where it's... Where
you steal a Chefes, it's worth 4. Steal a Chefes, it's a Be'en. It's worth 4.
Right.
By the time they catch you, bring you to court, lawyers...
Appeal process.
Stay of execution, the whole business... So it's worth only 1.
Right.
Okay? So what happens in Gneva, what happens in Gzela?
So in Gzela, since you're being the Hishim as Gzela, so you're turning out as is, therefore the price fluctuation is automatically incorporated into your returning of the object, and therefore you...
Which is an interesting way of saying it. You don't have to say it that way, but either the price fluctuation is included in your returning the object, or there is no issue of price fluctuation because you're returning the object. So then there's no issue of Tashlum to begin with. It could be either way. But either way, that's basically in Gzela you can say Haresh Kalafanecha. In Gneva you cannot say Haresh Kalafanecha. An unbelievable chiddush of the Tosis read. You have the ben, it's the chafetz that you stole, you turn it, you have to pay the discrepancy between its previous and its present value, even though you are returning the ben, even though you have to return the ben. And so one could have gone radical and said the other way, well, maybe there's no Beishim, it's like Gzela Shu Gazal. So you're allowed to keep the ban, and you have to pay the extra amount, so maybe you should be able to keep the ban. No. You have to return the ban. And for example, let's say the ban, let's say the opposite happens. Let's say the price goes up. You have to return the ban. If it's 1 when you stole it, and it's 4 when you are at the point of enforced collection, right? You have to return the ban. Is that because you have to return the ban, or is that because that higher price determines? Not so clear. But either way, there's a huge chiddush in the Tosis reading. So, in light of the things that we've seen previously, it's not quite as shocking as it might otherwise seem. Because we now know that... number one, there are huge differences between Gneva and Gzela when it comes to all sorts of Hagdama-type topics, right? According to some Rishonim. Hamanas LeMekad, and possibly Gezalakum, and possibly Pachas Mishava Pruta, all sorts of interesting things. But even beyond that, forget about Hagdama-type topics. Right? Real mainstream halachos, where the mainstream Rishonim think there's no difference, but even then we found that there might be either actual differences, or at least echoes of differences. Ain Shum and Lagana, but Shum and Lagazlan. Wow. If that's true. Again, if we can only freeze the Yerushalmi at that point. The halacha, it's Ain Shum and Lagana, Ain Shum and Lagazlan. But a serious havamin of the Yerushalmi. If you don't find a second libud, according to Rabbi Eliezer, if Rabbi Chanan Vasseman is right, according to Rabbi Lazar, right, Karka Nigzelis, but Ain Karka Nigneves, sensational. And what about the Tosis Rid's own contribution? right? That even if Gonev Min HaGanav, Ein Gonev Min HaGanav is about Karen, Ein Gonev Min HaGanav, but Yesh Gzela Min HaGazlan. Those is written himself. And more than that, right? The Rav Zahara and the Rambam, right? Which is Beheshiv is like Zela, Kishmo Kenu, that's the Pasuk in the Torah. The only Lavanita class A is Hashavas Gzela, not Hashavas Gneva. And it might even be more than that, as we were trying to in Medayik the other day, and that is that in Gneva, the Tashlumin, right, begins immediately, Terek Aleph Alach Aleph, because without that it would be. You wouldn't have Lav Shenitam Tashlum and Turmalkis, since there is, according to the Rambam, no Veheshiv and only Nita Klase. But in Gzela, what's the situation? It sounds in the Rambam, I was being Medayik, that the Be'en, as long as the Be'en, and only then the Chi of Tashlum. So very important differences, even in the more mainstream Sugyas between Geneva and Gzela. So now we come to Tosfos Rid. It's actually totally in keeping and in line with these considerations. What does the Tosfos Rid end up saying? Gzela is about, or in Gzela there's an integration of Tashlumin and Veheshiv and Be'en. And in Geneva there's a divergence between the Be'en and the Tashlumin. Are still two dinim. No one denies that you have to return the ban in Geneva. At least we don't know anybody who denies that. But they're different. Now, the same irony I raised, and we talked about that diuk in the Rambam, let's raise it again, but I think it's not so bad. Meaning, one might have thought that Geneva is much more oriented towards the ban than Gzela is. After all, the whole point is that it's more than about money. It's about the chefetz and the ganav and the maisa and the hotzam rishis sabayah. All that is about the ban. Whereas in Gzela, it's more about the money. And I think it still is an irony. I don't think it's nothing. But I don't think it's a problem necessarily. Let me just say it this way. In Gzela, because of that, the ban lechud. I'm sorry. In Gzela, because of that, the ban and the tashlumin are end up being connected in a certain way. They don't exist simultaneously. As long as there's a Be'en, that becomes the focal point of the Tashlumin itself. I think is what you said also a second ago. Right? Something like that. The Tashlumin is related to the Be'en, and the two are the one and the same. Because we look at the Be'en kind of as a, you know, and again, didn't have to say it this way, but I think this is what it is. As an exaggerated or an accented hefsed mama. Right? There's the hefsed of the value and the hefsed of taking away my ban, which is also something, even on a monetary point, against my ban. Even if we weren't focusing so much on the maisa of Eira, the otsam, rishis abaylim, the maisa of the ganav, right? The stealing of the ban, which is both a value and a ban at the same time, as long as the ban exists, these are one. It's only when the ban no longer exists that it's totally converted into separately into tashlumin. Until then, they're one and the same. So if that's the case, that's the whole point. That Karen is Kein Shaganav. But Kefel, Dal Dehei, says it tells us straight, are like Gzela. They're Kishasa Madavadin. I call it Gazanim Mishalmi Kishasa Gzela. Right? That doesn't mean in a case where the value of the Be'en rose from the time that it was stolen. I'm sorry, that refers to a case where the value of the Be'en changed from one time to the other. But Lu Yitzuyar. Sorry?
First case of the Be'en, where the Be'en was existing.
anywhere it doesn't exist. And now it, no longer exists. Right. So the point is that the when it comes to Gzela, as long as there is a Be'en, of course you say Harei Shekol Lefanecha. It's only when there's no Be'en that you say Kol HaGazonim Mishalmin Kishas HaGzela. One second. But when it comes to the Geneva, so the whole point is that we don't look at the Be'en and the Tashlumin as two sides of the same coin. We look at the Geneva as a more complex act, and when you steal the Chepetz, you steal money, and it's also a Maiso Tzom Rishus HaBailim of the Be'en. And these are simultaneous. Of course, they're not going to be duplicated. You're not going to pay for both. Yosef brought to my attention the other day also that the Sifra found it necessary to exclude that you shouldn't pay double, one for the Be'en and one for the Tashlumin, which is a good Hara. That's exactly what we've been talking about. Right. So we don't go that far. But we don't go that far means that there aren't two things, the Be'en and the Tashlumin. Everything is about the Be'en, or everything is about the Tashlumin. Or there are two things, just that you're not going to double jeopardy. You're not going to pay for them both. They overlap too much. So you're going to end up, you know, relating to both, but not in a way where the overlap is just, you know, too ambitious a chiyuv to impose upon you. So in the Tosfos Rid, this is exactly what happens. What happens? You steal a ben. At that moment, you're doing two things. You're stealing a $10 ben, right? And you're stealing $10. As long as there's no divergence between those two things, the Be'en and the Tashlumin, so there's no issue, there's nothing to talk about. But the second that there becomes a divergence, because the Be'en then goes down in price, so you stole $10 Be'en, and now the Be'en is worth $5. So what do you want to do? Say, Harei Shekol Lefanecha. So good, you're addressing the Be'en, but you're not addressing the Tashlumin. You're $5 short on the Tashlumin part of it. So in Gzela, that doesn't exist, because the Tashlumin is defined by the Be'en. Be'en and Tashlumin have to be one and the same. But in Gneva, there are two different dinim. And now there's a divert. Again, so the Sifra is wrong. The Sifra says, not the Sifra is wrong. The Sifra is saying, don't think that you steal a $10 Be'en, so at that moment you should pay $20, because you're stealing a Be'en and you're stealing $10, and the Be'en is worth the $10. Kamashmal, that's not true. But as you get to the divergence point, because now it's worth $5 as a Be'en, but it was worth $10 when you stole it, so the Tosfos Rid says, well, the Sifra didn't exclude that, because there's no overlap in that point. So you should pay the $5 and give back the Ben. Harei Shekol Lefanecha is not enough. Because stealing the Ben is a mechayev, and stealing the money is a mechayev. Yeah. Well, I think if, let me put it this way, I think you still need to explain why this should be so in Gzela and not in, why it should be so in Geneva, not in Gzela. No, what I'm trying to explain is that in Geneva we look at the Be'en part of it as, we look at the Be'en part of it in Geneva more as a Maisa Aveira. And therefore we look at the Tashlumin aspect of it separately. So we're able to say at the moment of the theft there are two things happening here. There's a monetary aspect and there's a Maisa Aveira. The Maisa Aveira relates to the Be'en, they're both part of the Maisa Aveira, but there are two distinct points here. One is the Chepetz HaGonuv, which is being lifted from the Rishus of the Bailim, right? The Be'en. And at the same time, you're also causing a monetary damage. The monetary damage is clocked at $10. The Be'en is the Be'en. As long as the two are the same, Harei Shekol Lefanecha is going to help you. The second that they're not the same, then you're relating to the Be'en part part, but you're not relating to the monetary part. But in Gzela, there's no such thing, because Gzela is about Hotzos HaMomon, Hotzos HaHefzed. So if you want to focus, you could have said the Be'en has nothing to do with it, but the Torah says Ve'eshev is Gzela Shagazal. So if anything, the Torah said that the Be'en is the focal point of the Tashlumin. So you end up saying that if there's a divergence in Gzela, you can still say Harei Shechol Lefanecha, because maybe the Tashlumin is a separate item, doesn't come about until the Be'en no longer exists. I'm not following you. In Gezela, you could say Harei Shechol, as long as it's a Be'en, you could say Harei Shechol Lefanecha. And you don't have to pay any money. In Geneva, according to Tosfos Rid, even though you can't keep the chefetz, right, the chefetz of Be'en, you still have to pay the discrepancy between the value of the chefetz when you stole it and its present value. But that's the chiddush in Tosfos. That's a huge chiddush. But what that means is that in Geneva, there is a simultaneous chiyuv tashlumin and chiyuv habe'en, which just should not overlap, but as long as they don't overlap, they both exist simultaneously. You can be chayiv for the be'en and be chayiv for the tashlumin at the same time. That's why if the object that you stole worth $10 is now worth $5 and you return it as a be'en, you still have to give another $5. That's the chiddush of the Tosfos Rid. In Gzela, that's not true. In Gzela, if your $10 object that you stole is now worth $5, it doesn't matter. You say Harei Shechol Lefanecha. So what I'm just trying to explain is that one might have thought that the, and I think it is still true in some respect, that Geneva is more focused on the Be'en and Gzela, more on the money. That's what all the evidence has been pointing to until now. Except for one piece of evidence. And that is, consistent piece of evidence, the way the Rav explained it, why is there Nitak La'aseh in Gzela and not in Geneva? Because in Gzela you can reverse it. And in Geneva you can't. You can compensate for it, but you can't reverse. Now when you think about that point, how are you reversing it? Not by paying the money. By returning the be'en. So the be'en ends up being, if that's the true pshat, the be'en ends up being the focal point of the tashlumin, as well as the reversal of the Gzela, because of the tashlumin. If that's true, then of course you have to say Harei Shechol Lefanecha.
It's the ultimate way, no? Meaning,
what?
Because since you're replacing it to where it was before, so you're
it's like it didn't happen.
Right.
So the chavis is back in the rishos, so that whatever, it went down in his rishos. But not really, but, right. That's what nitak la'aseh means. You are reversing the ma'aseh gzela, which was hotzas ha'be'en sheshaveh kach v'kach kesef, right? You have reversed that. That action. That's what Nitak La'aseh means. So that's why I'm just trying to explain. It's a little ironic, but it's not. It's understandable ironic once you have all the evidence. So therefore, in Gezela, we're saying Harei Shechol Lefanecha works. That's the idea of Harei Shechol Lefanecha. We turn the clock back. Why? Now, it could be a little unfair, because you know maybe the guy would have sold it when it was on a high price. What happens if it's Yisuri Anah in between? Right. So it really has changed, but it's not Hezek Nikar, so in terms of Harei Shechol, it's not Shinui, so it's, the answer is no. The whole point is in Gzela, why can you reverse it? It's ironic. You can reverse it because it's about money, and therefore even if there's not a full money compensation, in a way, you can still reverse it. That's the strange part. But in Gneva, which is more about the Maisa Gneva, Hotzos HaBe'en, the Kefel is connected more to the Be'en, as we've explained. Ironically, because of that, and it's not reversible, so then the be'en, sure, when you take it, there's the be'en, but it's not the be'en. The be'en doesn't become the focal point of the tashlumin. Right? There become two elements in your geneva, the be'en and the tashlumin. So the sifra says, maybe pay double. Pay for the be'en, pay for the tashlumin. That's the sifra's havamina. The answer is, you don't do that. You don't do that, why? So you could have said you don't do it because it's not about the be'en, it's about the tashlumin. Or it's not about the tashlumin as long as there's a be'en, it's only about the be'en. Or you could say it's about the be'en and about the tashlumin separately, but the reason you don't do it is simple, because double jeopardy, you're not going to pay in the overlap. Right? You're not going to pay $20 for a $10 object ban. But the second that there's a divergence between the two chiyuvim, and returning one isn't returning both, so then you have to pay separately for the tashlumin. That's the Tosfos Rid Shita of Karen Kane Shagana. I think. And it works very nicely, especially if you say that, you know, all the evidence on Kinyane Gneva are about Gneva and not about Gezeva. Right. So again, that view of the Rambam and the Bar Tanura and the Tosfos Yom Tov, right? So, and the evidence. So again, it makes a lot of sense in a way. And Horesha Cholifanecha, all of that, Gzela. You know, where there's no Kenyanim, but not in Geneva. In Geneva, that freezes the price and the value of the ban at the moment that you stole it. Yeah.
That also relates to the Gra, because his example was he talked about it in the case of Gzela.
Which Gra we're talking about?
That when we meant Kostos and Sadihei.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. I'll be honest with you. I mean, anybody who doesn't say what the Tosfos Rid says, it's hard to project that people believe in the Tosfos Rid without saying it explicitly. Meaning, Bali Tosfos say explicitly that there's no difference between Karen Kain Shuganav and Kol HaGazonim Misham and Kishasek Zela. It would be more than strange if the Gra, you know, I don't know if he knew the Tosfos Rid even. If you were to project in Tosfos, I mean, I think the Gra is just relating to the 2 days in the Rosh and trying to figure out which is the mainstream one. You know, but it's hard to believe that the Gra, without saying it, and without the Bali Tosfos believing it, would project the distinction between Gezela and Geneva in this way. I just think it's an amazing shita, and it needs to be explained, and it ends up highlighting, in a more radical way, albeit, some of the things that we've been discussing. But I don't think that you could say it in that Gra. Yeah. One second, I'm trying to figure out what the question is. What's the problem of Tavra Mishasya? Why can't it be a second Gzela? I mean, he still believes that there's still a Reisho Chalafanacha. There's still you don't own the ban fully. As long as you're not a complete Bailim on the ban, there's still no problem explaining Tavra Mishasya. You're just more of a Bailim on the Ba'an than a Gazlan is. But you're not such a Bailim that it still doesn't still belong partly to the Nignav and the Nigzal. Right? So I don't think it's a problem. I don't think Tavra Shas is a problem for the...
I was thinking in terms of the element of the end of the Tashulim. The same thing as the Tashulim.
Right, the same... Right. Okay, so that's the Tosfos Rid. I think it's an unbelievable shita. I say no one who doesn't say it believes it. It's just, you know, it's just wild. But it is very consistent. It's just taking it one step further. Now again, Yosef had another ha'ara that I wanted to share quickly, and that is this idea that, and this will conclude in tomorrow's Sarath Kepel Dal Hekshah Samad Abedin, but this idea that I tried to explain, which is, that, you know, maybe we start off with Be'en and then the Tashlumin only kicks in later. Not according to Tosfos Rid in Geneva, but let's say in Gezela. That too could be said in one of two ways. Okay. One is that there is a Chi of Tashlumin and there is a Be'en. As long as there's the Be'en, there is no Chi of Tashlumin. Second, there's no longer Be'en. That's when Chi of Tashlumin comes into play. That's one formulation. The other way to say a very similar... most of the cases they would overlap, would be to say that there never is a chi of tashlumin, just that sometimes tashlumin is a method of replacing the be'en. That's what you can't do in fact, you do through money. That's an important issue as we go forward to Dalad Behe Kishas HaMad HaBedin as well. The truth is, much of the Ma'ad Davidov, the Bali Tosfos think that the Heshiv is like Zelash or Gaza Lava Nita Klasse, is accomplished through Tashlumin. Just to highlight it. So he suggested that the Nafkamina might be, I didn't get a chance to look it up, but apparently the Machan Ephraim in Hilchos Nezikin suggests that maybe there would be not just Shas Hamad Abedin, or Shas Yitzias, I'm sorry, not just Yitzias Min HaOlam, the time of the Be'en is destroyed, but what about Shas HaTashlumin, more comparable to Hamad HaBedin? But is it possible that a critical moment for even Karen could be, for Tashlumin, could be the time when you happen to be paying, as opposed to the time when you stole the object, as opposed to the time when the object loses its Be'en? So if the point is that Chiyuv Tashlumin begins when there's a law, as long as there's a Be'en, there's no Chiyuv Tashlumin. It's only at that point that you get a Chiyuv Tashlumin. If that's the point. So then it should always depend on the moment of the destruction of Be'en. But if the point is that even then it's not Tashlumin, it's just a method of replacing the Be'en monetarily, since that's all you have left, it still could be that it depends on that moment, because that's when the Chiyuv begins. Or it could depend on the actual moment of implementation. Now, when you're trying to compensate for the Be'en and replace the Be'en monetarily at this moment, 10 days after the Be'en is no longer, and the price fluctuated yet again, how much does it cost to produce a similar Be'en? So that might be then Shas HaTashlumin as opposed to Shas Yitzia Minah. Okay. We'll stop here. Tomorrow, Kefil Dalvei.